believes in Christ Jesus, Yahushua, HaMashiach, Lord and Savior. Oh yes, it's a good day. It is a good day to be a child of God. It is a good day to go with Him. You know what? Drive time number 5. I don't know what it is, but I've wanted to do some work at my place and stuff, but I haven't. This is when I've been getting them, is what I've been driving. And I like the new recorder because you don't hear as much of my truck. That's my lovely truck, my nice, beautiful, lovely 21 years old. Linda was laughing the other day because I told her my truck is not legal to drink. Drink it does. This is not one of those economy style little hybrid Prius things. No, this is old school diesel. The nice thing about this is that it is going to eat up the road in front of it. It's got a lot of power. So, you know, when you're getting through kind of bad roads and back roads a little bit, this is what you want. Because the nice thing about diesel, if it starts, it won't stop until you turn it off. And so, yeah, so this is a good vehicle for this country. And I am blessed with, you know what? There is a secret of godly contentment. There's a secret where you learn, like Paul talked about, to be content in all situations, whether with little or with much. And you know, I've definitely seen that in my own life, where you know I've been in all of them. You know, I've had a lot, had a little, had a lot again, ups, downs, twists and turns. And part of all that process is so that you get used to, regardless of the external situation and circumstance, you're content. You're not governed by what the externals are. You're governed by the Spirit of God and what He would say to you. See, when your life is led by the Spirit, it doesn't matter what's going on outside and going on around you, because your life is hid in Him, and you have a satisfaction and a peace that the world can't touch. You know, when Jesus talked about peace, I leave with you, my peace I give you. I give not as the world gives. That's a beautiful thing, because the peace of God is something that they can't touch, and they can't buy it, nor can they sell it, nor can they put it in one of their 12-step books. It is a work and a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it comes only one way, and that is by following Him. So for us, God's children, God's people, children of light and truth, we live in that peace. We walk in that peace. We know that peace. And it grows. The peace of God grows. And part of how it grows is we have to be stretched. We have to be twisted. We have to be turned. We have to go through adversity and difficulty, trying circumstances, trying situations all the time, until it comes to the point where, you know what, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Hey, got to send a shout out to Jim over there in New York. Trish told me, Jim, that you were catching some of these latest ones. Hey, God bless you, my brother. Glad to have you on the wall. Glad to have you in the fight. Keep on keeping on, my friend. You're a good man. So this whole thing right now, that all of us are facing. You know, this is a really good year for God's people. And I see, you know, for us, I see even for myself how so many things are now starting to fall into line. And in this process of things falling into place, it's not about things working out for us in the world. See, that's something that God has been trying to shake us of over these years and over these trials and all the things that we've had to go through before. Because it's not about things working out for us in the world. See, for the worlders and for the carnal church, you know, for the Joyce Meyer's book club, for the Joel Osteen Osiris cult, you know, for all those guys, sure, yeah, it's all about things working out in the world for you, name it and claim it, you know, that's that whole thing, the Copelands, the rest of them, you know, it's for them. If things work out for you in the world, that is a mark of God blessing you. And if things aren't going right, if you're not wealthy and healthy, there's something wrong with your faith. Isn't that right? And the way that you access that whole success in this world, well, you better buy that book. You better come to the seminar, right? anyways, yeah, well, go tell that to my brothers and sisters that die for the faith in so many other places around the world, and a lot of them that I've met myself. Go bring that false message to them and see what they do with it. Well, how about this? How about you move over there with them and preach the gospel there? Try that one for a little while. Let's see how that... You know, the thing about truth, and we said this a couple times back, truth is true wherever you go. Truth is true. It's universal. Jesus Christ is universal truth. The cross is universal as far as, you know, without him being staked to the tree, there was no chance for us. There was no possibility for us. That is universal. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's universal. But I don't even know what these guys are anymore. You know, the thing about these carnal Christians and these surface level, just cotton candy fluff, that whole thing's broken to start with. All the real people are leaving. All the real people are throwing away those books, leaving those dead, quote-unquote, churches. You know, I even despise the fact that they've hijacked the word church. But, you know, that's one thing that Lucifer always tries to do, is he tries to control language, hijack words. Look, you don't go to church. You are the church. I am the church. You are the church. The church is the people of the living God, built on the foundation of Christ Jesus, of who he is. That word that remains in you, that grows through his people, that flows through us. We are the church. So church is not where you go. Church is who you are. So it is a misunderstanding, a gross misrepresentation for somebody to ask you, where do you go to church? It's like asking, where do you go to breathe? Where do you go to church? No, you don't go to church. You are the church. The early church, you got to go back and check it. Acts, Book of Acts, they met wherever it was that they had a space. Anywhere where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among them. We are the church. That's who we are. That's what we do. And for us, you church of the living God, this is church right now. Look, you and I together online like this. This is church. And as each part does the part that they do, we bless and strengthen and encourage one another. Just as God may give me something to say, you know, and put out there for you and for others, and for some of you that will listen months from now, years from now, then for, because God knows exactly who will check this and who needs this, and it's fine. And then there's others of you, you pray for us, you help us, you encourage us, you know, it's, we each do the part that we do, and everything works. It all works. God's body is just fine. You know, the kingdom of God, God's church, we continue to move with Him. And the church that I know, the church of the living God that I'm a part of, is incredibly strong. Incredibly strong. They know who they are. They know what they're about. They've been tested. They've been seasoned in the fire. In Jesus' name right now, I do bind every demonic spirit, everything that would seek to harass, to thwart, to push back the Word of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, I tear it all apart. I tear apart every blocking spirit, every sand block, every work of the enemy right now. In Jesus' name, I take full authority over those. I displace the principalities and the powers of the enemy. I push them out. Out in Jesus' name. Get out! Everything released right now into my hand. Into my hand. In Jesus' name right now, everything released into the hands of the children of God. You will not block God's people. You will not get in the way of God's people. Out! Move! Release! Every one of you little demons, you have no hold. You have no power. You have no legitimate right. Out in Jesus' name. I challenge your authority in the name of the living God. Move! Out of my way. Give it up. Everything. Everything released right now. Everything flows in Jesus' name. Right now. Out. Amen. Yep, the joys of driving. you know, the one thing is, the one nice thing about being able to do an audio at my place is that the distractions are minimal. But God is not limited to the walls or a perfect context, comfortable place, comfortable environment, nothing like that. Nope. We put it out where we get the chance. We offer what we have when we have the chance to give it. And you know what? Here's one thing. I got to go back to an earlier principle. Don't any of you ever say you don't have. This is important. See, God, He works with what you have. And He'll always ask you, what do you have in your hand? What is it that you've got to work with? And throughout scriptures, Moses in the desert with the staff, Elijah going to the Shunammite woman, the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus feeding the 5,000. You take all these different cases throughout. There's a very simple principle with all of that. God asks anyone that has a heart for Him, what is it that you have? What is it that you have in your hand? What is it that you have to work with? And whatever that may be, small or great in your eyes and in your esteem, He says, all right, whatever that is, throw it down, put it at my feet, turn it over to me. And once that happens, once you've done that, once you've relinquished your ownership, your free will right to choose to try to hold on, once you've done that, you allow for the miraculous to take place in your life. You allow for the free flow of God in that area and in all areas of your life. But as long as you hold on to it, as long as you have a hidden agenda, as long as you... food eaten in secret tastes sweet, right, little boy? As long as you hold on to that 5 loaves and 2 fish, you're thousands go hungry that didn't need to. See, God would have for His people to, He would have for His people to be poured out on behalf of others. He would have for you and I to follow in the footsteps of Christ Jesus. He would have for you and I to do that which God has for us to do. Because, you know, there's a fulfillment in that. There's a peace in that. There's a joy in doing that which God has for you. You know, we've allowed people to make this so hard. And it's not that hard. You and I have been made with unique gifts, talents, abilities, skills, joy towards certain things. You know, there's certain things that fulfill you, that bring you, bring pleasure to your life. And for you, they're different than they are for me. There's certain things that I love, that for me, if I do those things, those activities, if I engage in some of that stuff, I sense that which was put into me by God's design is being used, is being utilized, is being activated for His purpose. Some of you are fantastic artists. You know, by God's grace, I am a creative person. But I'm not a painter as such, or I've tried. You know, there's certain things that I've got some skills in some other areas, but there's certain spots where I'm like, I recognize other people that God has really put a gift in them. Use those things. Don't let those sit. Don't let those dry up. Don't let those die. You know, God wanted you to use that. That's why He gave it to you. And there's a fulfillment when you use that which God put in you. But see, the world would have to kill you off. And it begins with compromise. It begins with compromise. So even, say for example, even the work that you would do. The world says, okay, here, you got to eat, right? So do this thing. Be this cog in the wheel for the world. And then you can chase your passions from 5 o'clock onwards. you know, I share a piece of wisdom my grandfather gave me on my Sri Lankan side. Love my Sri Lankan grandfather. And one thing I remember him telling me, he said, Govinda, he said, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I've found that to be true. I found it to be true. For me, it hasn't been about finding a job I love, but doing that which God has given me a heart and a passion for. And that which He's put in front of me, knowing that this is where He's sending me, knowing that this is what He'd have me to put my hand to, I have found an incredible joy in those things. And so for me, you know, once you've tasted and seen that God is good, once you've tried that which, and seen and known what it is like to experience the fulfillment of God in that which you do, it's incredibly addictive. It is incredibly addictive. Because then, if you would ever... The world, you know, the world feigns that. The world, you know, they try so hard to imitate us. So hard. I mean, I've seen several movies. I don't watch movies that much. just because I just haven't had the time, because I've got, I mean, it's been great. God's had so much going on. But, you know, sometimes when I'm flying or whatever, and I've seen there's a few movies that I've seen, and but just like they're trying so hard in some of these movies I've seen to show what a life that is free might look like, and all of these actors getting paid, all of this whatever they get paid, and all these people trying to put together just this hint of freedom for everybody to go buy, to go see in a theater. Look, I live this. I have lived a life better than any movie script that I've seen. That's just me. Hey, this is my opinion. I'm entitled to... No, it's just, you know what? It's just doing what God says. You get an incredible fulfillment in that. You get a joy in that. And whether you go up, whether you go down, that doesn't matter. Not the externals. The externals don't matter. What matters is His will, His purpose, being in line with Him, being in love with Him, doing that which the Spirit of God would tell you to do. When you do what He tells you to do, there's peace in that. You know, also too, there's some little things that come up occasionally where, you know, we don't see the long-term ramifications of stuff. We don't. And that's why when God speaks, it is important to obey. You know, I mean, I wish for myself that I was 100% in that, and I wish that I was quick in that. I wish I was quicker to respond when God would speak to me, that when He would just say that, I would do just like that with a confidence of that. I, by God's grace, I want to move closer and closer to that until that's finally mastered and mastery in my own life. But I've seen, you know, even in recent months, where some just small things where God has given me just some instructions where I knew that He spoke to me. And because He said something to me, though it went against, you know, my flesh or my thoughts in that particular situation or situations or time, but listening to the voice of the Spirit, there's always a blessing in it. And when you ignore the voice of the Spirit, when you disobey, something dies. Something gets hurt. Something gets damaged. And it may not seem like a big thing to you, but it's something does. And sometimes it's a huge thing. You just never got to see the eternal ramifications of it. See, what God needs is He needs from us obedience. He needs from us a people that will trust Him. A people that understand that same principle that Job did. That just said, okay, you know what? No matter what, though, back to that same statement, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. No matter what happens in this situation, at this time, in this context, I am trusting You, Lord. And I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to go through trusting You to the very end, knowing that You're in control. You know, I've thought back, I was even thinking back a little bit earlier today, of just how many situations that I've been in where He's carried me through, and I shouldn't have made it to the other side. I mean, literally, I shouldn't have made it to the other side. And I don't talk about all that stuff that much, but I know that my life continues to exist in this dimension purely because of the grace of God and because of His hand and His protection on my life, period. So, therefore, all the more reason, not that I needed another reason, but all the more reason that reinforces that the life that I now live is and should be, rightly so, hid in Christ Jesus, that it should be him that lives, that I no longer live, but it's him that lives in and through me. And because of that too, you know, also I don't apologize for who it is that I'm in Christ. I don't apologize for what it is that God's made me to be. You know, there's a false humility that people sometimes get sucked into as well. And I don't want, I want the real genuine thing, but I don't want the false thing. I don't want that it's like it's a whole nother cloak. It's actually a form of pride, but in a very disguised fashion. And there's a false humility where people sort of, where you pretend that you're something that you're not, or you downplay yourself when you shouldn't be. You are a child of God. You are a son and a daughter of the living God. You have an eternal inheritance. You're a royal priesthood. You stand up. Put your shoulders back. Put your shoulders back, man. I mean, this is who you are. This is what God's called you to be. You have authority over every demonic force in this world, and everything that you would cross, you have dominion over those things. God's given you that because all authority has been given unto Christ Jesus. He lives in us, and the Spirit of God moves us. So any situation that we would go into, whatever demonic power that we would cross, has to bow before us, has to bow its knee to the King of Kings. It can't stand before the children of God. You know, I said this a little while back. Unless you give it that place, it doesn't have it. Unless you allow for it, it doesn't have it. Because it has to convince you, the demonic has to convince you, and you have to, in your free will, in your mind, say that you are something that you're not, and in doing that, live beneath the standard and the calling of God on your life. The moment that you realize, come to the revelation of who you are, that you are a son of the living God, and you move into that place, a daughter of the living God, and you move into that place, it's over for them. It is over for the demonic, and they know that. That's why they try so darn hard to bludgeon your mind. You know, recently my TV, that's another thing. For those of you that are a little bit closer, you know how often electrical stuff just gets funny around me. But recently the TV blew up. And, you know, I haven't missed it at all. Have not missed it at all. So, goes to the shop. Take about a month to get fixed over here. Such is this place. But, you know, with TV and all those kind of things, you've got to guard what comes at you and the way that you relate to it. Because, don't just passively flip that thing on and just let it feed into you. There's a whole demonic science to trying to get inroads into your minds, into your thoughts, to affect you negatively and positively. Not positively, but negatively. But you can be positively affected by good things. And that's why it's important to feed on the Word. That's why it's important to spend time in prayer. That's why it's important to seek those things of God. Let those be what fill you, and then shore up your spirit and your soul, your mind, your flesh. Shore up those things, and then go into the world with your armor on and your guard up and ready, and then engage in whatever God has for you to do in the world, but not of it. You know, you hear something about what we do and how we do it. You know, and part of the process of God. I'm sure I've talked about this some before, but what I've seen is that God, He separates a people unto Himself. He calls the people that choose to follow. They respond. They become the chosen, and they follow Him. And He, by and large, sends them into a wilderness experience where everything gets burned out of them, and they come to a death of themselves even in that place. And then what He does with the empowering of the Spirit that's on them and Him living through them, then He sends them into the world, but not of the world, but they go in. And when they go in, they do that which He has for them to do. And you have to go through that process. Because what I've seen, and this is again where that conformed worldly church, see, they know this. They know that this is part of God's process for His people. And so on a spiritual level, they know this, even though they may not have put it in some of their official writings, but they know this, and the spirits that control them know this too. They know that this is part of God's process, so they try to keep you from going into the wilderness. They try to keep you from being tested by God. They try to keep you from being put into the fire and from that whole process taking place in your life. Because, what did Jesus say? If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for My sake, then you're going to find it. Then you're going to have it. And what does the world tell you to do? What is the mantra of the world? Save your life. Save your life. Become something in this world. Save your life. God didn't mean all that. Don't put yourself in a difficult situation, in any kind of discomfort. Why deny yourself any pleasure, anything that this world would have to give you? You know, that's what they do. That's what they say. Save your life is the mantra of the world. And the world knows that if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. Interesting, isn't it? The paradox of the gospel, the paradox of the cross, the paradox of who we are, is that by losing our life for Christ and for Christ's sake and for the sake of the gospel, we're the ones that actually find life. We're the ones that actually live. So of the billions of people running around on this planet, the ones that actually live are us. The ones that actually experience life are us. The ones that actually experience the adventure are us. The ones that actually know what it is to be alive, that know what it is to walk with God, that know what it is to experience His power, that know what it is to watch demons run away like cowards because they're cowards. When the light gets flipped on, they always run. They always run. That's us. We know what it's like. We know what it is. We know the reality of the truth of God. Be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. Be encouraged. All that they have, every arrow that they throw at you, every demonic snare, everything that they have and they got, it's nothing. It's nothing. Like friends from Italy would say, it's nothing. It's nothing. Zero. You know, in some ways I feel like God's had some of us, a lot of us, playing rope-a-dope. You know what that is? I think Muhammad Ali was the one that made that famous. Your opponent comes at you and he's throwing everything that he's got at you. Keeps going. Everything. And you're just taking it. And then at a moment, at the opportune time, once he's thrown all of that, you turn it around and then you respond. When he's depleted, you come back. You knock him out. Jesus played rope-a-dope with the devil at the cross. Jesus at the cross roped that dope. Scriptures say that if they knew what was going to, if those, the demonic powers of this world, if they knew about the resurrection, if they knew what was going to end up happening, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not, and see, again, the enemy operates in limited knowledge. He doesn't know everything. He operates in limited knowledge, limited understanding. He's doing what he can with what he has access to. So that's why he's got all his people paranoid and monitoring and trying to check your email and trying to check your Facebook and trying to check all these different things, because in the end, he's working with limited knowledge, limited understanding. And see, that's why the kingdom people, that's why we are so ridiculously dangerous to them. Because for us, hey, we just go where the Spirit of God leads us. We go left when he says left, go right when we go right, when he says right, and we're uncontrollable. We're unmanageable. We're wind people. John chapter 3, you and I are wind people. And as a result of that, you can't be controlled. You can't be contained. You can't be harnessed. You can't be made a battery for them to suck off of. You can't be used like that. And then sometimes when they cross you, they end up getting short-circuited. They end up getting destroyed. Hey, they just made a bad step. They went the wrong way. They touched the poison arrow frog in the spirit, and now they die on the floor. You went the wrong way. You crossed a line you should not have crossed. Don't you know in your demonic hierarchy that we serve the living God? We serve the King of Kings. We serve the one who is highest above all. The name that is above every other name is the name by which we're called and that we're marked. We're above your satanic system. We're above your hierarchy. When we speak in the name of Jesus, when we do anything in the name of Jesus, your whole thing breaks. You exist, you demonic powers. You exist purely because God would allow for you to be there as an object lesson, just like he allowed for Pharaoh in Egypt. And he used him to get the glory out of the freedom that came for the children of Israel and God pulling them out by a strong hand. God had to have a Pharaoh in that place for that whole thing to be revealed. He had to have, in the eyes of the world, a strong opponent. A strong hand. That he would send Moses in, 80-year-old man with a stick. I know. Hey, look, here's one of the greatest world rulers of all time with the entire nation of Israel in bondage. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send in an 80-year-old man with a stick. Ugh. That's how I'm going to pull him out. What a smackdown. What a smackdown. I made him ridiculous. Took every one of their gods and turned it around on them. Made the very gods that they served and that they worshipped their own plagues. Their own plagues. And took it down to the point where it became personal. To their very own households, cutting off their seed. Every one of them, their firstborn, the show and the display of their strength and the next generation gone. Everything. If I remember right, I think even the cattle. Everything. Everything that they touched was cursed by God. See, that's the thing too. You got to understand. When God flips the script, it's over. When God says, all right, now I've had enough, cup is full, call their card, pull it, reveal it for what it is, it's over. See, I right now the world is still weak. The world system is still too weak. The worlders are still too weak for us to have that kind of a smackdown. They need a little bit more time to get their stuff together. They're ridiculous right now. They're ridiculous. Al Gore says it's going to get hot, it gets cold. They're a laughing stock. They're a laughing stock to themselves, let alone to the children of God. We laugh at them. They try to jest at us, but at the end of the day, they're the ones that are ridiculous, and they know it. And we know it. So it's, come on, it's like, come on, brother. It's okay. The thing is there's forgiveness over here. You can be set free over here. You don't have to be a slave. You don't have to be a slave to that stupid system, to your dumb, ridiculous... You know, worlders are very dumb because wisdom and knowledge comes from God. All wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding flows from Him. Yeah, they might know how to get around in their system. They might know how to do wheel and deal and barter for power, but it's all favors and games and who's got what on who and all that. But they're really dumb. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding comes from the living God. God gives that. It flows from Him. It flows from His throne. And so, for those that are in the world and that are under that hierarchy, it must be so frustrating to have to work for dumb people. To have to listen to dumb people all day. I have to laugh at their stupid jokes and their attempts to try to impress you with who they are and what they know. They don't know anything. And they're nothing. They are nothing in the eternal. They're nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. What was that word? There's a line from Italy. They're not a drop of piss in the ocean. Sorry. I thought that was kind of funny. The problem and the issue is, see, unless you're redeemed by the blood of Christ before you leave this world, unless you're redeemed, what ends up happening is you then are, frankly, irredeemable. You're not redeemed. You're not salvaged. You're not saved as such. And so what happens? Well, you go on into a Christless eternity. And what does that do? You're thrown away. You're thrown away. You're eternal trash. You're eternal garbage. You're eternally disposed of. Rotting for all eternity, left with the ramifications of your eternal choice, and knowing that you chose that of your free will, that's the way you went. Hey, free will's involved, choice is involved. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall you serve. You will have no other gods before Him. Solidify that in your soul. Bow your knee before the King of Kings and get on with it. Hey, I love you guys. I really do. And I just want to thank you guys for praying for us and for being with us on this journey. God bless you. Love you. I'm going to catch up with you again sometime soon. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.